All right, let's turn, please, to two passages of Scripture for right now. And let's begin in the book of Joel. All right. Joel is right after Hosea. When you're in Israel and the God says, calls these names of these Old Testament prophets, you sometimes sit there and scratch your head and what did he just say? But it's right after Hosea. That's how they say Hosea. All right. Hosea sounds like a Spanish person. But Hosea sounds Jewish, doesn't it? Yeah. All right. Are you there? Joel 3. All right. Let me read to you verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 1, Joel says, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather," what are the next two words? All nations. All right, now you say, well, I wonder what the Hebrew means. It means all nations. All right, all means all, everybody, everyone. And nations, of course, are peoples. All right, so I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, notice the wording there. I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Read on. And I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now, I suppose that you've been watching the news. I hope, and that's, and when I say the news, I don't mean the confused news network. All right, CNN, I'm not talking about them. I'm not talking about NBC or CBS or ABC. I'm not talking about any of them. But I'm talking about those that report what's going on. All right, and there are a few of those that are on your television set probably. But you will notice here that God is a little upset at the end of the tribulation period when he gathers all nations. Now, why is he upset? Well, he's upset because of what we are seeing right now. We've got the world dividing and parting the land that God promised to his people, the Jews. And they are parting his land. Right now, Europe, I'm going to say a bunch of imbeciles that run Europe, they want to recognize Palestine as a state. Well, I can tell you right now, that is not going to fly. That is not going to fly. It's not going to fly for a lot of different reasons, but one of the main reasons it's not going to fly is because God is not going to encourage parting the land. All right, so you just watch for that. All right, so the Jews have been scattered among the nations. Now go back up to the top. I will gather what? All nations. So the Jews have been scattered among the nations, and the world is parting their land, dividing up their land and giving it to people who are not Jews. And so that's going to be a major issue with the Lord in eschatology, in the study of future things. All right? All right, now, hold your place here. I don't know how you do that, but I'm going to put my bulletin in there. And go over to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. All right, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Ooh, this water's good and cold. I'd share it with you, but, you know, sorry. All right, now let's look at Matthew 25, and let's begin reading, please, in verse 31. Verse 31, you follow along here. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him, that's the Lord, shall be gathered who? All nations. So is it possible that the Lord Jesus and Joel are speaking of the same event? Exactly. That's what it is. This is the same event. And here we read verse 32. Now follow along. So He's going to gather all nations. And you remember Joel said that they're going to be gathered to the valley of Jehoshaphat. All right. So hang on to that. And before Him, verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. All right, sheep and goats. So you're all nations, all these people who are going to be gathered from all the nations are going to be categorized as either a sheep or a goat. All right? You say, well, where are we going to be? In heaven. All right? Don't get confused here. All right? This, remember that little outline I gave you. Rapture, ruin, the tribulation period, return, second coming, reign, millennium, and restoration, new heaven, new earth. Five R's. All right? Simple, simple, simple. But that explains Bible eschatology. Rapture, ruin, return, reign, restoration. Now, where are we in this? Well, we are with the Lord in heaven. And Joel 2 talks about how when Christ returns, we come with Him. All right? All of us come with Him. And we help Him with the battle of Armageddon that He is going to fight. Now, after that victory, after that battle, this is going to happen. And this, look at me now, this is what the Bible refers to as the judgment of all nations. All right? The judgment of all nations. Now, this is the next judgment. This is the fifth of seven. All right? We've looked at the others. We saw the judgment of Calvary's cross. That's where Jesus took our judgment. He paid our sin debt. He suffered death so that we might have life. God put our sin upon Him, and He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All right, so that's judgment number one. Then there was self-judgment. You remember that one? And I gave you the example of the Lord's table. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 that we have the Lord's table and the Lord's supper, and And he said let a man examine himself. All right? So that's self-examination. And boy, we ought to do that daily. All right? That's not just something we do only at communion, but it's something we ought to do every single day. You see, 1 John 1:9, last I checked, was still in the Bible. All right? So that if thou shalt confess your sin to God, all right, you confess that sin, God's faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. And so it's a wonderful tool that we have as believers that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find grace to help in a time of need. All right? And then the third one was y'all write these down. I don't have my notes with me. Oh, what's the next one? Is the next one the Bema seat? Huh? The judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, okay. The third one was the judgment seat of Christ. All right, and that's where we're all going to stand before the Lord and give an account for the things we have done, whether good or bad. And then it's not a judgment per se to determine heaven or hell. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, it's because you are a born-again, saved individual. And your sins are not going to be held against you. It is a time of reward gain or reward loss. So what have you done for Jesus? You see? And wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. Our works are going to be divided. And when you put the fire to wood, hay, and stubble, you get ashes. When you put the fire to gold and silver, you get purified metal. Amen. And then we take those crowns and we cast them back at our Lord's feet. All right, then the last one we did last week, number four, was the Jews. And we talked about how the Jews are going to be judged during the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years, that beast, the Antichrist, is going to make a treaty with Israel and allow them to build the temple in Jerusalem. And then at the midpoint, he's going to break that covenant, that treaty, in a blasphemous way. A lot of folks think that he is going to offer a pig as a sacrifice. Well, that certainly would be blasphemous to the Jews. I can assure you that. We don't know what he's going to do, but we do know he's going to break the covenant with Israel. And when he does that, then the persecution is going to be directed toward the people of God, towards the Jews. And they will be chastened by the Lord. Why? For their unbelief. For their unbelief. You see, that is something that a lot of Jews over in Israel have a hard time with, those that have any biblical knowledge whatsoever. They have a hard time with Christians in America coming over and being good to the Jews, because they look at it and they say, you're just being good to us because you know because you believe that during the tribulation period, a bunch of us are going to die. And so that there is, there's been a lot of conflict over that through the years. I've had some of them look me square in the eye and say, do you believe that we're going to be judged during the tribulation period? And I've just looked them back in the eye and said, well, sir, I read my Bible, and that's what my Bible says. And one of them said, show me. So I did. I showed him. And it's in the Old Testament. And of course, you know, that's where they put their stock is in the Old Testament. And so when I showed it to him, he went, I said, yeah, it's something to think about, isn't it? But that's about all you get out of him is a holy grunt. You know, you don't get an amen. You get a grunt. All right. So anyway, this is where we are here. Now, number five is the judgment of the nations. And that's where we are right here tonight. All right. Read on. And here is a description of this in verse 33. Now look at it. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Now that's not a slight to all you left-handed people. All right. But in the Bible, the right hand is the hand of authority, is the hand of righteousness, is the hand of glory. But the left hand, well, I mean the left is the left. Come on. Then in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. Now this, in other words, is to save people, to saved people. Come ye, what's the next word? Blessed. So how you know they're saved people? Because Jesus says, come ye blessed of my Father. Now he wouldn't call unsaved people blessed of his Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was and hungered. You've heard these verses before. But be honest, you have no clue what they mean, do you? Huh? Be honest. You've heard these verses all your life, but do you know what they mean? Well, we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks, all right? But read what he said here. For Jesus said, for I was an hungered. In other words, I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. That's what I said yesterday. We were playing golf up at Carlisle Barracks with a couple guys from the church here, and there were gnats up there. And about on hole five, I breathed in, and he was a stranger, and I took him in. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I about choked to death on that thing. They say there's protein in them, but they were awful little. You'd have to eat a whole bushel basket full of them to get any protein, I'm sure. But anyway, and he said, I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. You say, well, what in the world? I know, hang on. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, watch this now, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Now watch. And the who? King. Capital K. Who's the king? The Lord Jesus, yes. And the king shall answer and say unto who's the them? The sheep, the saved. When did we see you in all these conditions? When did we come unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, watch this now, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Who's his brethren? The Jews. Ye have done it unto me. All right? I might as well read the next verse, because if you have been, wrong towards the Jews during the tribulation period, if when the beast takes over and starts the persecution and you have joined in on the persecution, and you have, and folks, listen, I don't know how that persecution's going to be. I mean, it could be so bad that you could get points for killing a Jew. You could get a reward for killing a Jew. I don't know how it's going to go down. The Bible doesn't explain that to us. But they are going to be hunted all across the face of this earth. There won't be a safe spot for any of them for 3.5 years. And if God does not protect them, which he will as a people by taking them down into the hill country of Jordan to Petra and hide them there and protect them there. But if he does not do that, they're going to be wiped out. They're going to be wiped out. So folks, when you hear these people say from the river to the sea, what they're saying to you is from the Jordan River right here to the Mediterranean over here, destroy them all. And that's where they live. That is Israel today. And so when they say, drive them into the sea, they mean all of them. That's the mantra. And don't forget what the Quran says. The Quran teaches them, the Muslims teaches them, that during this 3.5 year period, Allah is going to say to the Muslim, there is a Jew behind that rock, come kill him. There is a Jew behind that tree, go kill him. Folks, this is serious business. This is serious stuff. You say, well, it'll never get that bad. Yes, it will. It's that bad now. It's that bad now. And everything is ruled by politics. I mean, you just look. 8 people were shot and killed. Teenagers were shot and killed this last weekend in Chicago. And somebody asked the governor of Illinois, oh my soul, God help Illinois. There's some wonderful people that live in Illinois. I pastored there for 5 years. There's some wonderful folks up there. But there's also some wackadoodles. And the mayor too. But that governor, I mean, they're nuts. Don't you send the National Guard here. You're not welcome here. Oh, you want people killed in your city? Why don't you want to stop this? Well, they don't want to stop it because they don't care. All they want is power. It's all about power. And so everything's political. And it's us against them and them against us. You know, I don't think you ought to talk politics in the pulpit. I'm talking about in the pulpit. What I'm talking about is the saving of this nation. This is the problem in America. This is the issue. It is a spiritual issue. I'm thinking about writing a book on the disease called liberalism, because that's what it's a cancer. It's just nothing but a cancer. All right, so let me read. Here's what happens, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. Now the left hand are the goats, the unsaved. You say, well, why are they unsaved? Because they had a chance to do right to the Lord. You see, by doing right to the Lord, you're doing right, or to the Jews, you're doing right to the Lord. All right, by doing right to the Jews at the end of that tribulation period, you're doing right unto the Lord Jesus. And they won't. And the Jew, you got the tribulation, and then you have that last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. Why is it going to be great? Because of all the death and the mayhem that the beast, the Antichrist, is going to create. And it's all going to be directed against the Jews. All right? And so what's he say? Depart from me, ye cursed. Yeah. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, folks, hell was not created for us. God did not create hell for man. He created hell for the devil and his angels. Now, all right, so that's not even an introduction. That's just reading the scripture text. All right, sorry. It's going to take a while. Are you following me, though? All right, let's pray real quick. Father, now help us. We need your blessing. We need your help. And I pray you'll help me to say what I need to say and explain things thoroughly. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, we move now to the fifth of the judgments. And the fifth one mentioned in the scriptures is the judgment of the nations. It is a coming judgment. It's not happened yet. It is a coming judgment that will happen when the Lord Jesus returns to the earth at his second coming. Now, he comes back, and let me give you the outline, all right? Here it is, rapture, that's next, right? That's the next thing to happen on God's calendar. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right, so that's the rapture. Then ruin, 7 years of tribulation on this earth. 7 years. First 3.5, there's going to be all kinds of chaos, and there's going to be things happen, and there are going to be tragic things, most of them. I mean, a lot of death, a lot of destruction, a lot of judgment is going to take place. No doubt about that. But as bad as that first 3.5 years will be, it's nothing compared to the second 3.5. And in that second 3.5, there's going to be a time of great persecution against God's people, the Jews. So we are taken out, all right? We are taken out. And so you have rapture, then ruin, and then return. Now, the return of Christ is the literal second coming of Christ. That is when the Lord Jesus returns to this earth with his saints, and there is the battle of Armageddon that is fought. And that battle of Armageddon is going to be mass destruction of the beast's armies, the armies of the world. There, it's going to be blood up to the horses' bridles in the valley of Megiddo. And that's that big valley that lays out in front of the old ancient city of Megiddo. Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon. Armageddon means the hill, H-I-L-L, the hill of the telling. The hill of the telling. And certainly that battle is going to tell who is the real God. For 7 years, the false God has been calling the shots. But he is going to say that he is the Messiah, the true God. But he's not. He's a false God. So then here comes the real Messiah out of heaven with all of us, and the armies of the Antichrist are defeated. Then we are told that the Lord Jesus is going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And when he stands upon the Mount of Olives, then he is going to, there's going to be an earthquake. There is going to be a massive earthquake. And when that happens, then the Mount of Olives is going to split. Now remember, the Mount of Olives, let's say that I'm standing on the Mount of Olives. I'm on the Mount of Olives right now, Mount Olivet, all right? And if you go about as far as from here to Target, that's about all the further it is. From here to Target, that's how far it is from the Mount of Olives to the Temple Mount, where that big gold dome mosque is sitting. All right? That's how close it is. Now, follow me carefully. Here is the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split. That Mount of Olives, if you're standing on it, it is north and south. But if you're looking west, you're looking over at the Temple Mount, where the third temple will be built, the new temple. All right? So if you look east, you turn around and you look east towards Jordan, all right, that's east, that's west, and north and south. All right, now, the question is, where is, and Joel tells us, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, where is the valley of Jehoshaphat? By the way, Jehoshaphat means Jehovah judges. Jehovah judges. All right? And isn't it funny that the judgment of all nations is going to take place, Joel says, in the valley of Jehoshaphat. You with me? All right, now, this is where I'm going to have to leave you tonight probably, but let me get started here on it. All right, this is the question, where is the valley of Jehoshaphat? Well, this valley is not easily determined. It's not easily determined. Now, there are some who say that this valley is the valley of Barakah. Now, that valley is where King Jehoshaphat fought the Amorites. But I don't think that the valley of Jehoshaphat is the valley of Barakah. The valley of Barakah is the valley of Barakah, not the valley of Jehoshaphat. All right? You say, where else could it be? Well, there are some, and I disagree with them as well, but there are some who say that this valley is the Kidron Valley, all right? The Kidron Valley, which runs between the Mount of Olives and Jerusalem, all right? Now, that Kidron Valley is, it's full of history. Just over the wall, there was what was called, they called it that the Valley of Hinnom. And they called it that, all right, let me transliterate that for you, the Valley of Hell. And the reason they called it that is because that's where the city dump was. And they would burn the trash. They would burn, it constantly would smoke and stink. And depending on which way the wind blew, you smelled it. And so so some folks say, well, that's the valley of Jehoshaphat. Well, there is ample evidence that the Kidron Valley was called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, but that did not start happening until the mid-400s AD. All right, so rule that one out. Rule that one out. It's not the Kidron Valley. You say, well, then if it's not one of those places, then where is it? All right, let me see if we can answer that. All right, take your Bible and go to the towards the end of the Old Testament to the book of Zechariah. All right, Zechariah. If you go to the last book, which is Malachi, you know, the Italian prophet. The Italian prophet Malachi. And go back one book. All right, you there? If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say, oh me. All right, I'll wait on you. Hurry up. All right, time's up. Here we go. Look at verse 1, chapter 14. Did I not say that? Oh my goodness. My bad. Just pick a chapter, they're all good. All right, but specifically, I guess, 14. All right, sorry about that. All right, look at verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather who? Well, I declare. There it is again. Who'd have thunk it, right? I will gather all nations. Wonder if we're talking about the same event Joel's talking about. Yep. Yep, we are. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Well, I wonder if we're talking about the same day, the same event that the Lord Jesus was talking about in Matthew 25. Yep, we sure are. All right, so let's see what else Zechariah has to say here. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and shall reside and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then, now watch this. Then, so verse 2 is the battle of Armageddon. Verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. This is the battle of Armageddon, as when he fought in the day of battle. All right, so here's the battle. Here's the Lord coming up. Out of the south, you remember. If you remember, he starts from the south, from Yemen, and comes all the way up through Arabia, into Egypt, into Sudan, all the Eastern African nations, Libya. They're all mentioned in this judgment. Then in verse 4, now watch this. So verse 1, 2, and 3, Armageddon. Then look at verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. All right, and everybody look up here. All right, remember, I'm on the Mount of Olives. Over here is Jerusalem. That is west. That is east in the illustration. All right, so that means south, north, right? And so look at the wording here now. It says, on that day, the Mount of feet shall stand on that day on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem, before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. So what does that mean? That means that when it cleaves, there is a rift. There is a divide. You with me? Read on. Watch. And there shall be what? What now? What? And there what? There shall be. In other words, it's not there now. Huh? Hello? Are you listening? Yes. It's not there now. Hey, I've been over there. It's not there. I've been over there a lot. It's not there. The Kedron Valley is there, but we're not talking about the Kedron Valley. They didn't start calling the Kedron Valley the Valley of Jehoshaphat until the mid-400s A.D., and the only reason, according to one guy that I read, whom I have a lot of confidence in, he said the only reason why they named it that was because of that prophecy in Joel 3 and verse 2. They know that the prophecy is there and it's not going to change. So they're hoping, you know, hey, We got another tourist opportunity. This is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. No, it's not. No, it's not. According to the Bible here, it says, and there shall be a very great valley. Huh. Huh. And half of the mountain shall remove to the north and half of it towards the south. So watch. Watch. Here's the Mount of Olives. Half of it's going south. Half of it's going north. And there's this great big valley that goes east and west. And the Lord's going to gather the nations there. Him standing on the Mount of Olives foot on one side, foot on the other side. All right, all you goats, get over here on my left. All you sheep, you get over here on my right. Wow. There's going to be some people that are going to say, uh-oh. There's going to be an awful lot of religionists who are going to go, whoops. Yep. Does that make sense? Well, that's page one. All right. We're not even through the introduction yet. I'm sorry, but we're not. We're not even through the introduction yet. But I put that foundation down there. Now, I want you to go home and study it. All right? Go home. Read these verses. Joel 3, Zechariah 14, Matthew 25. I mean, just go home and read them. And let's see what this judgment of nations is all about. You say, well, I got questions. Yeah, and hopefully I got answers. All right, so don't ask them yet. See if I answer them for you. And then if I haven't answered them by the time we finish this one, which will probably be either next week or the week after, probably I'll try and condense it next week. Don't condense it. Y'all killing me here. But we'll see. All right, we'll see. But if I haven't answered your questions, then you can ask them, and I'll get Pastor Holbrook to answer them for you, okay? He's not here, so he can't defend himself. All right, well, I hope that helps you. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you now for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless this to our hearts. We are so thankful that we have a Bible that is alive and it speaks to our hearts and it gives us understanding of what's coming. And Father, we know that your word is faithful and true. And I just ask that you'll bless your word and speak to our hearts tonight. Draw us close to yourself. Father, we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So increase our faith as a result of what we have heard this evening as we see how the plan of God unfolds perfectly out of your word. So bless it to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen.